welcome to the Practical NLP Podcast with me, Andy Smith. Catch up on previous episodes at nlppod.com. So, in the last podcast, you elicited a list of values. But some values will be more important to your client, or more important to you if they're your values, than others. The most important values will be the ones that have the most say in how they use their time. So the next step in clarifying their priorities for their chosen area will be to discover their values hierarchy. Again, I'm going to give you the instructions as if you were working with a coaching client, since that's how you'll probably want to use the process in future. But if you did the previous values elicitation exercise, it's just as easy to apply it to yourself. The first value that came to mind in the previous exercise may well not be the most important. In fact, some of the submerged values that came at the end of the list may be the ones that turn out to be more important than the ones that first sprang to mind. Eliciting the values hierarchy is simple. Just take the list of values that you've elicited for a given area and ask, if you could only have one of these values in that area, which one would it have to be? When the client has identified that value, write the number 1 next to it and ask, if you could only have one more, which one would it be? Write 2 next to that, and so on, until you have all the values in order. Then take a moment to rewrite the list in order, and there's your revised list. Now some tips for getting the best from this process. Firstly, if it's hard to decide which is the more important of two values, use this method. You can have either one value or the other value, but not both. Which does it have to be? I don't want to make an absolute generalization that one will always emerge as more important than the other, but I will say that it always has for me and for my clients. I suggest that you expect that one will emerge as more important. That way, the language you use will contain that presupposition. Secondly, you may find that a value in the initial list turns out to be the same as, or a slightly different aspect of, another value. If this happens, you can safely merge them. So respect and recognition might become respect/recognition. Thirdly, you can write the values on sticky notes to make it easier to reorder them. This also makes the process more physically interactive if the client's reordering them themselves, so the client may feel a deeper connection to it. Fourthly, you can test that this really is the client's value hierarchy by asking the client a question that feeds the values back to them in reverse order, then another question that feeds them back in the correct order, and notice the difference in the response to the two questions. For example, a client's values for work and career might be 1. Integrity, 2. Making a difference, 3. Money, 4. Enjoyment, 5. Security, 6. People, 7. Recognition and respect, and 8, learning. You might ask, okay, I want to offer you a job. In this job, you'll learn a lot, you'll get plenty of recognition and respect, you'll be working with people, it's secure, you'll really enjoy it, the money's good, you'll be making a real difference, and you can act with integrity. Do you want it? That's a question in reverse order. And notice how congruent and enthusiastic their answer is. Now offer them another job, this time with the values in their preferred order. I do have another job for you. In this one, you can act with integrity, you'll be making a real difference, the money's good, you'll really enjoy it, it's secure, you'll be working with people, you'll get plenty of recognition and respect, and you'll learn a lot. Now, do you want that one? Notice how the values are the same, but just in the opposite order. Again, notice how congruent and enthusiastic their response is. Most times they'll be a lot more enthusiastic about the second job that matches their values hierarchy, even though on paper it satisfies the same values. If they prefer the first one, it's time to go back and double check your prioritization. Now, a word about money. If money comes out at the top of the list, you may need to do some additional work. Ideally, money would be a means value, one that's useful because having it helps to fulfill more abstract ends values. For example, having money might allow you to have more security or freedom or make more of a contribution. Money does not make a good ends value. Remember the hierarchy of ideas and how more abstract levels govern the more concrete levels? Although money is partially an abstract concept, it's also concrete. You could imagine putting money in a wheelbarrow. It's insufficiently abstract to be the most important value. More practically, if someone has money at the top of their values list, they could end up like a millionaire I once met. He'd made a pile of cash, but he told me it meant nothing to him, and he was constantly wondering what it was all for. It's worth noting that your priorities can change. The values that are most important to you in a particular area of your life may change over time as your circumstances change. For someone who's heavily in debt, money may be high on their scale of values. Once they have a comfortable amount of cash in the bank, money would probably be less important and other values might move up the list. The values hierarchy that you've just elicited is a snapshot of where you are at this point in time. Conflicting values, for example, adventure versus security in your career, are a recipe for dilemmas and for feeling stuck or torn in two. Here's how to check that each value is compatible with each of the others. Again, what follows are the instructions you would give to a client. If you're clarifying your own values, just follow the instructions yourself. Firstly, take the lowest value on your prioritized list and check it against the one above it. Can you have both? If you feel that these two values can't coexist, make a note of the clash. Continue to check the lowest value against each other value all the way up the list. Then take the next lowest value and check it against each value above it in turn. Continue with the next lowest value and so on until you've checked each one against all the values above it. Note that the values don't have to actively support each other, although it's great if they do. They just need to be able to coexist without clashing. What if the client feels there's a potential clash, for example, between enjoyment and money? This could just be a reminder that the client needs to find a way of fulfilling each of the two values that doesn't compromise the other one. Or it could indicate a head-on clash between the two values which needs to be resolved. If you remember the parts integration process from earlier on in the podcast series, you can help them resolve it. If using a parts integration process is not appropriate for whatever reason, here are a couple of more left-brained methods for resolving values conflicts. Firstly, change things so that you can fulfill both values. What is it about your current situation that means you can't satisfy both values at the same time? Ask yourself what would have to happen to make it possible to satisfy both values at the same time. Then make it happen. Secondly, you could look for the common higher value in both. Take one of the clashing values and ask yourself, if I have that value fully, what would that give me that's even more important than that? This should give you a higher value. Continue to ask the same question until you can't get any higher. Then do the same thing with the other value. You may find that the two original values have higher values which are the same, or at least more compatible. That's it for this week's podcast. Remember, you can see the show notes for this episode at nlppod.com, and you can download back episodes you may have missed from the online store at webstore.nlppod.com. See you next time.